Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
The Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, Dean McPherson, has unveiled a project preparation bid window aimed at accelerating infrastructure investment and driving economic growth. This initiative is inviting both public and private sectors to submit proposals for project preparation support, particularly for large-scale infrastructure projects over R1 billion. The Minister joins us on the program now. And first of all, can you outline the main objectives of this new bid window? What's the goal here? What are you trying to achieve?
Well, what we're trying to do, Jeremy, is make it easier for government entities, for provincial governments and local municipalities, also in conjunction with the private sector, to be able to be ready to go as quickly as possible with financing of infrastructure projects. What we have done is an analysis over the last while is to understand why projects fail to get off the ground. And the reality is that many of them, and a lot of them, quite frankly, don't get off the ground because they are ill-prepared. They are unable to get financing in open capital markets because of the lack of preparation that takes place. So in order to mitigate that problem, what we've done is we sought funding from National Treasury to create a project preparation facility within Infrastructure South Africa, whereby entities or arms of the state can approach us and say, we have a project that is worth more than R1 billion. It is catalytic in nature and job intensive. And we will effectively fund and do the preparation on your behalf. So that is just a massive new opportunity that has never been done, so that we are then able to also work with you to then go and access financing and funding. Because, Jeremy, many of these entities, or particularly local government, just aren't able to access private sector capital because they have bad credit ratings and they're unable to complete jobs. So we think that this is, as I've said, it will turbocharge infrastructure development, because we are going to support those projects at their inception and not on their commencement.
Minister, let me get a little bit more granular here. Are you able to elaborate on the sectors that you're prioritizing and the criteria that the projects will need to meet to qualify for preparation support?
Yes. So the sectors that we're really honing in on are those that are crucial to our economy. That is water and sanitation. We know that we have a looming problem in that area. One just has to look at parts of Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, where water has really, really damaged the economy there. So we want to focus in on that, particularly in bulk water infrastructure in local government. I think that that is ripe for assistance from us, and we will be able to also source funding for that from the private sector. We're also looking at particularly efficiencies within port and rail, as well as in transport, and then in transmission. So we're not saying we can do everything. We only have R600 million over the next 3 years, but we're really using this as sort of a sandbox exercise. We want to see what the feedback is, what the participation is. I think we're going to be oversubscribed in this round. And then if it works, we're then going to be able to expand it further into other sectors of government and the economy.
What type of risk assessment framework are you developing or have developed to ensure that these projects are feasible and sustainable? It's all very well to take the project to the line, but you've got to make sure that there's a long tail here, that you're actually monitoring progress to make sure that it doesn't fall off the tracks.
Absolutely. And I think that that's why the initiative that we have announced is a de-risking measure for infrastructure projects. Because what we've seen, particularly in local government, is that National Treasury allocates R950 billion over the medium-term framework over 3 years for infrastructure development. And I would argue that the results of that are indifferent at best. We have local municipalities that return infrastructure grants. So this is actually a risk mitigation measure. We, of course, have actuaries, we have engineers, we have project planners that actually look at the project and say, what is the financial viability? So projects have to be financially viable if we want to get private sector investment. And the most opportune infrastructure projects are where there are tariffs related to that. So water, roads and transmission, energy. Where there is risk that government has to carry, and we will assess what that risk is, and if needs be, we will then put an additional funding to de-risk those projects. So water is a really good example on that. So water obviously is a fundamental human right. So government will then put in an allocation, which is effectively an indigent grant, to de-risk that and then allow the private sector to fund the profitable side of that project. So when we have unpacked that with various financial institutions that we've been meeting with, they are very receptive to that idea. So the de-risking takes place on two measures, to summarize. One, financially, and two, through the professional services that we offer through Infrastructure South Africa.
Now, let me try and connect what you're doing to an existing problem. It's all very well to start the process and cut the red tape and make sure that the application process is well managed. But once you actually start the build, you've then, Minister, got the construction mafia, which is causing a huge problem in South Africa. That could be a wrinkle. But you've now said that there is the possibility of calling in the SANDF.
Well, I didn't say that. What I said is that it was used to great effect by Eskom when they were under attack and internal sabotage, and the SANDF was deployed by the president, and it was the correct thing that he did in that instance to secure those sites to stop them from being attacked. Now, I've said that if that's been done previously, maybe we should be looking at whether that model can work, particularly around big, high-value infrastructure projects. But that is just, you know, it's one problem. The other problem that we have to deal with, Jeremy, is the incentivization of that behavior. And that has come through the so-called 30% set-aside rule through procurement, which has effectively monetized criminal behavior, acts of violence, and murder to the detriment actually of construction companies that are emerging and want to participate in government projects. They are the ones who have said, well, this may have been a good intention to begin with. Its application has been disastrous for our businesses because we have lost people, we are chased off of sites, and our work doesn't exist. So I think that we've got to look at this in two ways. One, we've got to secure those sites, critically important. Two, we've got to look at how do we include participation in emerging players in the sector without creating financial incentives for well-organized criminal syndicates to bring these projects to a halt.
Are you prepared to make a call for the deployment of the military at this point?
Well, that's not my call. That constitutionally can only be done by the president. Those are discussions that we can have, but I publicly will not do so because that is not my remit. But I am working closely with the National Police Minister to look at ways of how we can resolve this and how we can deploy more police officers potentially to secure sites. But we also have to involve the private sector and private security. They are have vast resources that we can tap into. And on the 19th of November, I will be hosting a national construction site summit in eThekwini, which KZN has obviously really been ground zero, so to speak, of this sort of behavior. And we will be inviting various ministers, MECs from across the country, and industry players to hammer out a solution that we can all commonly agree on and then implement with determination.
The Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, Dean McPherson, thank you very much for joining me today.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.